WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Lift your smell! What the Rock is cooking!
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
This is, in fact, the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We're on the road to Night of Champions, which is this Saturday afternoon, live on the Peacocks, on the WWE Network, around the world, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Check your other local listings for time and availability in your area. Remember, chat.
Ding.
Use Amazon Prime. Link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can buy Miles Morales tomorrow in the Fortnite item shop by using credit card Rocket Soccer Lens and Warrior, because hashtag Heavy Partners. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
We're here, we're live, we're prepping for Night of Champions, which is this Saturday?
Saturday, you say.
Saturday?
Saturday.
At 1 p.m.
Yes.
Which is going to be difficult, because it's mid-afternoon, so... But time difference is...
It's fine. Day of Champions, Night of Champions, it's all the same thing. It's fine. It's fine. But we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw. Thursday, we will preview it on the rack. Things that happened on the show included Bronson Reed taking on Rick O'Shea in a match that was pretty dang on good. Bronson Reed with the tsunami for the win.
This was a solid opener. I have no complaints about this. I enjoyed this. I thought it was good.
It was a good match. We saw the continued rise of Zoe Stark on Monday Night Raw as she took care of Candice LeRae.
Poor Candice. This is not the way.
Yeah. You had Nikki Cross involved.
But... It seems like Candice sort of like fizzled on that a little bit.
On what?
On Nikki and Candice, like they've kind of fizzled that on that a little bit.
Yeah, now they're kind of lining up because I think Indy's hurt a little bit, so they're using Nikki to fill Indy's spot.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You had Mustafa Ali being interviewed, and well, he saw a heated Brock Lesnar. We'll get more into Brock here in a bit, but Ali is ready for his battle with Gunther at Night of Champions. He said people are probably expecting a quote about positively, but this is way too real for him. He's dreamt of this moment since he was a kid, and yet he's not actually ever come close. Good little promo. Heating up the match.
Adding a little something-something to it, which is always needed, always appreciated.
Always acceptable in that variety. We had the Viking Raiders taking on Alpha Academy, and Alpha Academy got back on the winning ways. Maxine loved the Caterpillar. Gable and Maxine seem to be on the same page now about Otis.
Getting along. This was a really, really, really good match. Sorry to see the Viking Raiders lose, but this was a good match. So we'll see if everything is still good in paradise.
When you win, you win. Who's in the face in which match, Keish? The Alpha Academy match? I would assume Alpha Academy are the baby faces?
I would think so.
I assume they are. Because everyone loves some Otis. So Veer and Sangha were in a smoky room with Jinder Mahal. So that was my takeaway from it. They were standing in a smoky room together.
Veer is still coming.
The forces of nature and the storm is here. I guess that explains the smoke.
They're trying to look mysterious and...
They were in Alberta.
intimidating and...
All the things?
All the things. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Everything will be fine.
They're not going to leave Veer hanging for 6 months like they did last time. They'll bring him in. It'll be great.
Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor. Oh boy, this was a great match.
I would watch this again and again.
And again.
This is so fantastically good.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we got that for free, okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Finn got the win, people will probably be upset. Oh my god, Shinsuke lost, but he lost to Finn Balor, who was part of Judgment Day, who are on a rise right now. Shin's fine. This was a good match. This was a match that Finn needed, because he's come off some losses when he's been solo, so a big solo win for him works here, especially after coming short against Rollins a couple weeks ago. This one will get him back on track.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, it's coming out of WrestleMania. It's how do you recover the Judgment Day? How do you make them a thing again, basically? Because having them lose, and you were building them up, and they sort of took that tumble at WrestleMania, and now it's like, okay, well, what do you do? This is how you do it. You start to build them back up individually.
Indeed.
Because they have plans for the Judgment Day. None of us know what they are. They're just kind of sort of lingering, wandering plans. So we'll see if they actually can put them together and follow through.
Raquel Rodriguez beat Sonya Deville. Chelsea got involved after the match, which led to Raquel's new partner, Shotzi, making the save.
I'm okay with this pairing. I mean, truly, I can't complain about this pairing. I mean, I'm sorry that Liv got hurt, and I'm sorry that Dakota got hurt. That sucks, but any airtime for Shotzi is a good thing.
Dominic Mysterio beat Apollo Crews. Fine little match. We're building up Dom a little bit for something. I'm not sure what, but we're building him up for something. Throughout the night, we had the Seth Rollins promos, the continuation of the sit-down.
Because, you know, your boy's off shooting a movie, so he can't be on Raw.
They're good promos.
They're really good promos. They're fantastic promos. And it's a great way to have him be on the product without him being there.
Yeah, and it helped hype the match. It hyped his career. Everything went the way it should have with them. So your main event of the show, which we'll talk about after we talk about how the show opened, sans the attack by Brock Lesnar, which we'll get to here in a minute. We had Paul Heyman in the ring saying he had nothing to do with Brock's attack on Cody Rhodes. He said his special appearance on Raw last week was so well received that he was invited back this week. Because, well, you know, he's a SmackDown talent on a Raw show, unless he is an advocate who is helping another talent out on Monday Night Raw so that his tribal chief will be safe.
Hmm.
Anyway, there are three main events, as Paul Heyman mentioned. He said it will be capped off by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn losing the undisputed WWE Tag Team titles to the Bloodline. This brought out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Heyman left. Zayn questioned whether Heyman went and said he'd never seen him scurry off so fast. Zayn said he and Owens were feeling pretty good heading into the biggest title offense you could possibly have against Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. This one is really personal for Sami Zayn. He said he has nothing left to say, which he said the same thing on Friday, because he already said it straight to Roman's face. Owens then recalled Roman Reigns dedicating this match to Alpha and Sika. Owens said he was dedicating his and Sami's win to the true pillars of the Bloodline, Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso. This brought out Imperium. They surrounded Kevin and Sami. Matt Riddle evened up the odds. Imperium turned around, then charged the ring. We had a 3-on-3 brawl, leading to their main event of Imperium taking on Kevin, Sami, and Matt Riddle. Really good main event, with the good guys of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Matt Riddle getting the win.
Again, this is something that we should not have gotten for free, but I'm completely fine with getting it for free because this was a fantastic main event. Good lord, this was so good. I will take it. And yes, there are shenanigans afoot with one Paul Heyman as he's trying to fix things for Roman Reigns. to make it a little bit easier, perhaps, to get the tag titles for keeping Cody Rhodes and, to an extent, Brock Lesnar preoccupied with each other. Paul Heyman's out here doing his thing, and I love to see it.
It was time for the contract signing between Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus. Trish spoke about how eager Becky seemed to be to sign the contract, said she wasn't that eager because wasn't so eager to return on Raw until she kicked her head off. Trish said it was a big deal because this was her first ever contract signing. Trish referred to herself as the GOAT and how Corey Graves reminded that we're in Hershey. You mean the chocolate? Trish took credit for Becky having so many big moments because she did all of the work to make it possible. Trish then talked about how she was number one in WWE, and it didn't take a broken nose for me to get there. Shots, then be fired. Trish said Becky thinks she's it, then questioned what will happen once she beats Becky at the Night of Champions. Would that make her it? She questioned whether Becky would go back into the dark place and have to go through her some stuff again. Trish signed the contract. She once again stated that it was her first contract signing and it'll be Becky Lynch's last contract signing. This is where Becky got serious. She said Trish was scared. She said she was backstage segment with Trish and Adam Pearce. Lynch told Trish she didn't need to be scared. She said time has passed and Stratus has stayed the same. Becky says the fans remember Trish as being better than she is. Becky said it's all about Trish wanting her flowers, and then so she gave it to her. Thank you, Trish. Thank you for being everything she hopes she never becomes. She said she's hot and it, and Trish is not. Becky said she can only look at herself in the mirror, even though she's not perfect as Trish thinks she is. Becky said Trish has done things that would give her nightmares. If you think barking like a dog is embarrassing, just wait until I whoop your ass at Night of Champions. Welcome to the big time, bitch. Woof woof. Hell of a line.
I was really, really happy they brought that up. I mean, not in the sense that it's like a happy memory or anything, but it's like Trish's whole line of, well, I didn't have to break my nose or break my face to make it to the top. It's like, no, but I remember you getting thrown with slop and having a bark like a dog and doing some other questionable things. So people in glass houses maybe should not throw stones.
Just saying a little bit on that one.
Yeah, just a tad. I mean, yes, you did make it to the top, but you had to walk your way through the shit to get there. Just saying. So I was very happy that Trish got called out on that. It was a really nice little exchange between the two of them.
So Monday Night Raw opened with Brock Lesnar jumping Cody Rhodes as he arrived in the building. He threw him knocked him through a table, tossed some kegs on him, rammed him into a garage door. You want to fight? Let's fight. Come on. Picked up one of kegs, slammed him on Cody's arm, and Cody was holding that arm like it could possibly be broken. So throughout the night, we're checking in on Cody Rhodes. Adam Pearce had no updates, and so there are rumors Cody broke his arm, but they have no updates because Cody is refusing medical attention. And we're going on, and I mentioned that as Mustafa Ali was being interviewed, Brock Lesnar walked through. He came to the ring. He mocked Cody by asking fans, what do you want to talk about? He said he booed Cody too. Lesnar claimed that he wouldn't have faced Cody at Night of Champions, told the fans that he wouldn't let him down. He issued an open challenge to anyone who wanted to step up and face him at Night of Champions. Out came Cody Rhodes, arm in a sling. Everyone's trying to hold him back. Cody pulls off the sling, the ice pack. They fought some more. Cody gets locked in the Kimura. This time, Lesnar yanks on the arm. You can tell Cody's in pain as he's left laying as medical people come to help him. So we're still trying to get an update on Cody. Adam Pearce is being interviewed, and, you know, he's trying to talk Cody out of it. Cody said there was nothing to talk about and told him to get out of there, and just nothing. Then Adam Pearce is on the phone later. It's like, I'm trying to talk sense in him. He just is refusing to see medical attention. So I'm going to stop there before we get to the finish. What do you think about the Brock attack?
This was vicious. This was really, really good. Again, you're adding more fuel to the fire to this feud. Not that it necessarily really needs it, but again, it's one of those things that if you're going to have them be so absolutely pissed off at each other that they cannot wait, they cannot keep their hands off of each other, that all they want to do is fight each other, I appreciate wholeheartedly that you have them jumping each other at the very first opportunity that they can. That Brock cannot wait for Cody to be in the ring. He sees Cody backstage and he's like, you know what? I'm going to fuck you up because I can. I'm going to find you. I'm going to track you down and I'm going to mess you up. And then I'm going to do it again out in the ring because, again, I can. I appreciate that because that's what it should be. Like, if these two are so pissed off that they're going to go to Saudi Arabia to beat the shit out of each other, then they should be doing it here in the States, too. You should have to keep pulling them apart. You should have to keep them apart. They should not be able to be in the same building at the same time because you can't trust them to be around each other without beating the other up. So the fact that they had this detail in here, I really appreciate that. Because it's storytelling, and storytelling is important.
It is.
So, that being said, I don't know if I'm okay with them going back to the whole narrative of Cody being injured and Cody finding injured. It worked with Seth.
Because it was real.
Because it was real. Because Cody, against all better judgment, all advice, all everything, said, I'm going to wrestle. There's no way to make up for this. This is the main event. This is everything. I have hurt my arm, but I'm going to follow through, and I'm going to wrestle Seth because I can't make it any worse. And I think that's the only reason he did it, was they told him, it's already fucked. Go ahead. Right? You can't hurt it anymore. So that's what he did. I'm not sure I'm okay with them telling the narrative of, oh, Brock quote-unquote broke Cody's arm, or he hurt Cody's arm. Now, I get it. It's a setup for if Cody loses in Saudi that he wasn't 100%, and so Cody can come back for Brock. But I don't like that they're going back to this narrative. Like, once was enough. You don't need to keep going back to it in the sense of to make Cody an underdog. He's already kind of there, right? Because he's facing Brock. Anytime anybody faces Brock, it's, unless you're like Taker, it's an underdog situation every single time because it's Brock. Because he's just that vicious, he's that aggressive, he just beats people up, right? So we all already acknowledge that Cody's a little bit on the back foot here with this match. Even though he beat Brock, he's still on kind of on the back foot because Brock is Brock. And he's the one thing that they're doing right with the character, both as a heel and a face, is they're making him entirely unpredictable. You don't really know what he's going to do. You know it's going to be destructive, but you don't know what it's going to be. So, I kind of hope they don't, like, push the narrative that Cody's hurt too far. Just because I don't want them to send it out that's like, oh, it's okay for you know, we're going to tell the story of Cody's bravely wrestling injured. Because you know what's going to happen is people are going to pick up on that, and people are going to start to push that, and then you're going to have people wrestling with real injuries, and it's like, well, I really broke my arm, and it's broken in three places and needs to be reattached, but I'm going to wrestle this match because reasons. Like, it's, to me, it sends the incorrect message to people. Like, if you're hurt, you need to step aside and get help, get better, heal, recover. You don't need to be wrestling if you're hurt.
Speaking of that, Cody had a knock on his door. He don't need any help. It was Triple H, urging him to get medical attention. Cody's like, I don't need it. Triple H said he could tell Cody from right here, sitting here, I could see it's broken. And Cody, I could see it in your face. You know it's broken. Then Triple H says, are you afraid? And Cody's like, what do I have to be afraid of? That the doctor's not going to clear you. He has nothing to prove and talked about what we just talked about, the Hell in a Cell match with the torn pec. Cody asked Triple H what he would do and what has he done. Cody said Triple H fought just like as he will do when he goes to Night of Champions to fight Brock Lesnar. Triple H takes it all in, sits down next to Cody with the ice pack on his arm, pats Cody on the back and leg, smirks, and walks away to end Monday Night Raw. Nice use of Triple H.
Good use of Triple H. It's nice that he pops up every once in a while.
Yeah, now it's him being the we now have your Triple H Cody interaction that people have been wanting, a real one, and that was good. We'll talk more about that on Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah.
As we preview Night of Champions.
That's right. Tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here. It'll be Rock and I on the rack talking about Night of Champions. We also have news, notes, and other tidbits. Hopefully we'll have Tweet of the Week. Hopefully Twitter will be funny. But tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, it's Fortnite with Friends. You can check out CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, as we are going to do a 30-minute review of Night of Champions and a 30-minute preview of AEW Double or Nothing, which means there is no WTR Sunday night this Sunday, but it'll be back the following Sunday. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio Not So Live, right after we're done next week to review AEW Double or Nothing. You can also check out our review of the Rack Extra Reviews Lego 2K Drive, which will be available probably on Wednesday for everyone to watch. I streamed it on Twitch here this past weekend. The VOD is currently available for watching to check out the game. You can use credit code RockinSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Miles Morales tomorrow morning, or any of the Star Wars or whatever other things are left in the video game. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward, where I stream Genshin Impact and Honkai Star Rail. Come hang out, like, subscribe, follow, do all the things. Well, you can't subscribe, but follow the channel over on Twitch. You can like, subscribe, ring the bell over at youtube.com/@@LinzWard or linzward.rockradioshow.com, or just look for Linz Ward on the YouTubes, but do the thing. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Chat, this has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack, and right back here for the Raw Post Show. Long the airwaves, the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.